We're on Daf Memhei Amud Beis, and let's just see. We're going to have to really sort of move fast here because we're lagging a little bit behind. So let's see if we can start with Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rab Yochanan. It's about one third of the way down the Amud, a little bit above Tosus Dira Maskel, De Isbe Mukt Be Beitza. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rab Yochanan, Amru Halacha Ki Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like Rabbi Shimon. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, could it be that Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like Rabbi Shimon in Muktza? For a boy minea hu saba kruya v'yamri leisruya, there was an elderly gentleman who had a question which he asked me Rabbi Yochanan. Kina sheltarnagolis mao litiltule b'shabbos. So we're talking about a chicken coop, and the question is whether you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Now, a chicken coop is designated to serve an animal, a balchai. A balchai is muktza, and something that's dedicated exclusively to something that's muktza is also muktza. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, klum asui el tarnagolin. Does this chicken coop have any other purpose that it serves? It's exclusively dedicated for the chickens, and the chickens are balichai, and balichai are mukta. Now it sounds like he's reflecting the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry, that Rabbi Yochanan is reflecting the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who accepts mukta, because since you had no use for this chicken coop going into Shabbos, other than to serve the Baal Chai, then that makes it Muktzah. And one could wonder whether Rav Shimon accepts the principle that a Baal Chai is Muktzah. And even if he does accept that principle, does that make the chicken coop Muktzah? So the Gemara answers, Hachem b'mayaskina de ispe afroach meis. There's a chick that died on Shabbos. We didn't anticipate that would happen. And it's in the chicken coop. Now, a chicken coop serves a double function. It's a place for a live, healthy Efroach to jump in and jump out. And it's a place for Nebuchadnezzar Efroach to find its resting place. And that's where it is, in the chicken coop. Now, the Efroach is clearly Muktza, and even Rav Shimon would agree it's Muktza, because again, we said according to Rav Shimon that in the case of a Nair, he anticipates that the Nair is going to be extinguished at some point, and therefore it's not Muktza. But if he's not in any way anticipating that would happen, like in the case of Kos Vashishis, where he has a vast amount of oil, even Rabbi Shimon holds that we have a Hesek Hadas and Muktza. In this case of the Efroach is clearly Muktza because he never anticipated that the Efroach would die. It was a healthy chick. And this could be Nogea, let's say, for example, for animal food. You know, we'll have a discussion about Nevela, if an animal dies on Shabbos, would you allow to feed on Shabbos, pick up the dead carcass and feed it to an animal as animal food? And according to Rav Shimon, it'll depend on whether the animal was healthy going into Shabbos, and I wasn't anticipating that it would die, or it was unhealthy, like the sukkah, if you remember in the case of the wind, where I already was anticipating that it would fall. You know, a wind would come and blow it down, or the animal would die. so that the chick itself that died is now mukta because he didn't anticipate going into Shabbos that it would die. And since the dead chicken doesn't go in and out of the coop, it's permanently in the coop, and the coop is its place, that makes it into what's called a basis ledavar asur. Like, for example, we had a discussion about a case of a bed where he designated the bed for mos, and the bed becomes muktza. Okay. So that the Gemara is now claiming that Enochinami, Rabbi Yochanan made that statement that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but nevertheless, he thought that the chicken coop would be a basis for this dead Ephroach. The dead Ephroach is muktzah, so there was no anticipation that it would die. It has no other function, and the coop is now the resting place for this dead Ephroach. So at this point in the sugya, the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yochanan could still be reconciled with Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says the following: well, you're assuming that the coop is a basis for the Ephroach that died, and the Ephroach itself is muktzah, and that's because the Ephroach, you didn't anticipate that it would die. Hanicha, that works out well according to Mar Bara Memar Mishmei Derava. Di Omar Moda Hoyer Rab Shimon Vali Chaim Shemesu Asurin. If a healthy animal dies on Shabbos, the body of the animal is muktzah. El Lamar Bedrei Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava. But according to different understanding of Rabbi Shimon, Cholak Hoyer Rab Shimon Afilu Bivali Chaim Shemesu Shemutarim. Any animal might die, so going into Shabbos, it's possible that the animal would die, and based on that possibility, the animal, when it dies, its body is not mukta. Is Michael Memer, what are you going to say about this chick that died? It has the same status as any Bal Chai Shemesu, which according to this version of Mar Breit Rav Yosef and Rav Shimon agrees, I'm sorry, Rav Shimon continues to disagree, and insist that it's not mukta. Hachavamayaskinan b'de isbe beitza. Now clearly, the Gemara thinks that a beitza, which was hatched on Shabbos, was laid on Shabbos, is certainly mukta, even according to Rav Shimon. Because Rav Shimon assumes that anything that in your wildest dreams might have a possible use on Shabbos is considered mukhan. We've prepared it, but you can't prepare an egg that was laid on Shabbos because it didn't exist on Erev Shabbos. Hachana has to take place on Erev Shabbos, otherwise it's muktzah, and even Rav Shimon would agree to nolad. Now, if the beitza is nolad, then once again, the chicken coop becomes, since it has no other function, it's purely dedicated for the eggs that the chicken lays, therefore it becomes a basis, and even Rav Shimon would agree that it's muktzah. And that's the Gemara's answer about bid isle beitza. So Gemara asks, "V'amar Rav Nachman, mandi isle mukta lesle nolad, umanda lesle mukta lesle nolad." According to Rav Nachman, and almost everyone disagrees with Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman has a unique shita that the status of nolad depends upon mukta. It's another subcategory or an application of the general rule of mukta, and if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that is mukta, then this nolad is also mukta. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who rejects the concept of mukta and he assumes that you could always dream, and in your wildest dreams you think that you can use this on Shabbos, that's also an inherent or assumed hachana going into Shabbos. So therefore, when you have a chicken, and we'll call it a hen, and you assume the hen is going to lay an egg, then again, that's also considered hachana in the wildest sense. It's not an obvious hachana, but it's a stretch. And Rabbi Shimon would accept that kind of hachana, and therefore it's not muktza. So the Gemara answers, the ispe beitza sefroch, this is not a regular chick. I'm sorry, a regular egg. This is an egg that's going to hatch with a chicken inside of it. And therefore, it's considered mukta, even according to Rav Shimon. Why? Because this egg has no purpose whatsoever. Why? Because you can't eat it because we don't eat an efrach. You know, it needs shechita, but we're talking about an efrach that now is not hatched yet. So we're not planning to eat this efrach, and we're not allowed to eat this efrach. You can't feed it to a dog because it's in a shell. So therefore, it's like eitzim v'avonim. It has no purpose whatsoever. And the coop now becomes a basus. So the Gemara is saying that even Reb Shimon would agree that this is a real serious issue about basus in the case of a chicken coop, and it might be mukta, and therefore we can still reconcile the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said Amru, they paskin the halacha like Rabbi Shimon, and yet in the case of a chicken coop, he vacillated back and forth. Ki asa Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he had a version of Rabbi Yochanan who said halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan paskened explicitly like Rabbi Yehuda, was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Halacha k'Rav Shimon. So now we have a funny kind of situation that we're facing. We have one tradition that Rabbi Yochanan said Amru Halacha k'Rav Shimon, and then we have a statement that Rabbi Yochanan said Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yosef, Hahidi Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amru Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. That statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Halacha is k'Rabbi Shimon, it's Amru. He introduces with the word Amru. Amru v'lelo svirale. In other words, he was referring to people like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and maybe others, other scholars who accepted the shita of Rabbi Shimon, but Lei, he himself, Rabbi Yochanan, never accepted that shita. Amalei Abayi l'Rav Yosef. So at this point, the Gemara in its presentation thinks that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rav Yehuda in Mukta. So Abayi turns to Rav Yosef, says, V'at lo tizbra di Rav Yochanan ki Rav Yehuda svirle. In other words, it was Rav Yosef who thought that perhaps Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Shimon, until he heard this transmission that we spoke about yesterday of Rabbi Yitzchak, that Rabbi Yitzchak said, no, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. But how could you even entertain Rabbi Yosef that the halacha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would be like Rabbi Shimon? Ha Rabbi Abba Rav Asi Ikla Lebe Rabbi Abba Demin Chefa. There was a visit to the house of Rabbi Abba of Chaifa. V'nafal minarta al glimei d'Ravasi, and a candelabra tipped over, and it fell onto Rav Asi's cloak, and v'lo tiltala, and he didn't, Rav Asi didn't move it. In other words, he held that this candelabra was mukta. My timer. Lav, isn't it so? Mishum Rav Asi, who's a Talmidei of Rabbi Yochanan. And if we want to know how Rabbi Yochanan paskins, we just have to look at his Talmid, Rav Asi. And Sfirle de Isle Mukta. It must be that Rav Asi held like his Rebbe, and his Rebbe held that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the candelabra is Mukta. Because if you go like Rav Shimon, then it wouldn't be mukta. Now, what kind of candelabra are we talking about? It's important that we understand that the candelabra was not lit on Erev Shabbos. It was an old candelabra that's been used in the past, and its status would be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, mukta machmas mius. Amalei, so Rav Yosef responds, Minarta ka'amrit, you're bringing me a proof from a case of a candelabra. Minapra shiny, that's a different case. The Omer of Acha bar Chanina Omer Rebbe Asi, Hora Reish Lakish Bitsidon, Reish Lakish gave a ruling in Sidon up in the north. Minora ani tellus biyado achas mutul etaltula b'shtei yadav osul etaltula. We have on the one hand a menorah that's lightweight. It's so light that you can move it or carry it with one hand alone. You have another menorah that's very heavyweight, and you need two hands in order to carry it. It's so heavy. And Reish Lakish made a distinction between the two. If you have a lightweight candelabra, that's not muktzah, because it has a shame kli. Anything that can be moved has a shame kli. But if it's something that you need two hands, then it's very heavy, and it doesn't have a shame kli. Maybe it's not makabel tumah, and therefore it's muktzah. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, anu ein lanu ela b'ner ki Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan said that in the case of Ner, which is an issue, if it's not lit going into Shabbos, of Muktzah Machmas Mius, Rabbi Yochanan said, we reject the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and a lamp is not considered Muktzah by virtue of the fact that it's been used in the past and it's somewhat repulsive. Aval Menorah, that's okay in the case of a Ner. But in the case of menorah, bein shenitla biyado achas bein nitla b'shtei yadav osul etaltula. Whether you can move it with one hand or two hands, you need two hands, it's very heavy, it's muktza. So Rabbi Yochanan accepts the, Reish Lakish wanted to be mekil in a lightweight candelabra, but Rabbi Yochanan agrees to the second part of Reish Lakish, that in a heavyweight candelabra it's muktzah, and that could be true even according to Rav Shimon, but Rabbi Yochanan said that in both cases, even in a candelabra that you could move with one hand, it's considered muktzah. So again, in the case of Rav Asi, who didn't want to move this menorah, and he held it was muktzah, he's really, in a sense, following the view of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, and that is that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore menorah is muktzah, and it's muktzah even in the case of a menorah that can be moved by one hand. And the reason why it could be it's muktzah when it could be moved by one hand is because of Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that if you designate something for an isur, like for lighting, and this candelabra is exclusively dedicated for lighting, then it's muktzah. So we see that that Rabbi Yochanan, as the Rebbe of Rav Asi, accepted the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Rav Yosef says, I would accept this tradition that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yehuda. V'taim amai, why is it that a candelabra is muktzah? And if you follow the logic of Reish Lakish, if it's a candelabra that's very heavy and you can only move it with two hands, it's muktzah. Rabbi Rav Yosef Tiamri Chavayu, hol vi adam kovea lo makom. That if something is so heavy that you need two hands to move it, a person designates a certain place for it, and you don't move it from that place. And if you don't move it from that place, then it's muktzah. Why is it muktzah if you don't move it from a place? Because the concept of a kli that's mukhan means I move it and I anticipate moving it from place to place. But if something is so heavy, then I don't anticipate moving it from place to place. So Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Varei Kilas Chasonim Doven Kovelo Mokom, Vi Omar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia, Mutal Etaltal Lintosa, Umutal Efarka B'Shabbos. So we have this canopy bed that was used for a bridal couple, a new couple, and Shmuel says that since a person puts it in one place, and it's kovelo makom, is therefore on the top of Mem Vav and Aleph, despite that fact, mutul intosa, Umutul afarka b'shab. So lintos has to do with the laws of creating an ohel. And here it's not a regular ohel. A regular ohel is something that you put flat on top, but here it's just hanging on a pole in the middle, so it's in a triangular shape. That's not an ohel. And mutul lefarka b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take it apart on Shabbos. So it's interesting. On the one hand, you have something that's dedicated to one place. You know, it's a canopy for chasanim that's always kept in one area. It's a private room, you know, the bridal suite, and you don't move it around. But nevertheless, he's allowing you to take it apart on Shabbos, which means that it's not muktzah. So if that be the case, we have to go back to square one and figure out why a candelabra, in the case of a menorah, would be muktzah. You can't tell me because it's koveh lo makom. We have the case of of kila shel chasanim that has a kviyus makom, yet it's not muktzah. El amar abaye b'shel chulios. That the candelabra, in the case of that we had earlier with Rav Asi and Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, that was a candelabra that had different sections. And in a case where it had different sections, we're always afraid that if it's a kind of a Lego, you know, you put pieces, segments together, then it might fall apart, and then you'll be tempted to reassemble them. And if you reassemble him, then you'll be chayv from Meleches Bona. Now again, Rabosai, I'm not going into Meleches Bona. There's a whole chapter in this Masechta dedicated to Meleches Bona. But let's just work very slowly here and assume that if you have different parts of a candelabra and they fit into place, one into the other, until you create a candelabra, you violate Meleches Bona. You've taken little segments and now you have a full kli. So the Gemara challenges this. E hachi, my time of the Reb Shimon ben Lakish Dishari. Reb Shimon ben Lakish told us that if you have a menorah that could be lifted by one hand, then it's not muktzah Shabbos. And if you're talking about a menorah shel chulios, a menorah shel chulios is absolutely prohibited on Shabbos because we're afraid that it'll put it together if it falls apart. So the Gemara now changes Abaye and says, "My chulios ke'ein chulios de isbe chidki." There are certain kinds of menoros that, when you put the pieces one into the other, there are grooves chidki. You know, they cut into the wood, and therefore, even though here we're not talking about a menorah shel chulios, which is certainly asur, and therefore Reish Lakish makes no sense, but we're talking about a menorah that has chidki. And this is going to be the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What happens if you have a menorah that's made up of one single piece, but it has grooves in it? And those grooves may have been made for ornamental reasons by the creator of this candelabra, but nevertheless, to the onlooker, it looks like those grooves are meant to teach you and guide you as to where to put the sections together. And they'll think that you are moving a menorah shel chulios. Hilkach, therefore, chulios, if you have a real, bona fide, true candelabra that's made up of different segments, bein gedola, bein ktana, whether it's large or small, it makes no difference, asur l'taltala. And even Reish Lakish would agree that it's us, because we're afraid it might come apart and you'll put it together again. But gedola nami, disbei chidki, if you have a large menorah. And usually, a large menorah would not be used in chulios, it's usually one piece, but this case it has chidki. And since it has these grooves, is gzera atu gedola de chulios. So it means that in the case of a smaller size candelabra, then we assume that it's not going to fall apart. If it's a larger piece, it might fall apart, and we have to worry about that. But in the case of a small menorah, we don't have to worry about that. Ki pligi b'ktana disbei chidki. But that's only in a ktana that has two pluses. Number one, it's a small piece. And number two, it doesn't have chidki. So if you have both those conditions, then it's mutter. What's the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? Biktana disbe chidki. So again, a normal candelabra that is small in shape, in size and in weight, is not something that you'll have to be afraid that it'll come apart and you'll put it together again. But in this case, since it has chidki, it has those grooves, then it becomes very similar to your candelabra of chulios. Marsover, according to Rabbi Yochanan Gazrinon, the Rabbanon equated any candelabra with a candelabra that has chidki, even if it's a small candelabra. Umar Sovalo Gazrina, and Reish Lakish never accepted this gzera. Okay, now, Umi Omar, Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, is it true, as Rabbi Yitzchak told us, that Rabbi Yochanan holds La Locha like Rabbi Yehuda, Ve'a Omar Rabbi Yochanan Alocha Kistam Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan always paskins like an anonymous Mishnah, Usnan, and we have a Mishnah that we learned 2 days ago, about a muchni, you remember the wheel, shalah, bizman shi nishmetes, if the wheel is a temporary connection to the wagon, is ein chibur la, it's not considered one with the wagon, so if the wagon was mekabel tuma, that tuma is not transferred over to the wheel, the ein nimdedes imam, we don't weigh the possible maximum volume of liquids, of water that could be in this wagon by adding the wheel, because the wheel is nishmetes. V'ein matzelis ima b'ol ames, and the wheel could not be considered a protection that closes off the tumah from the mess. V'ein gorin osa b'shabes bizman she'esh olea mos. You cannot drag the wagon with the wheels because there are mos on top of the wheel. Ha ein olei mos. If there are no mos on top of the wheel, sharia. In other words, we want to know in the language of the Mishnah here in Kalim whether or not right now on Shabbos when you want to move this wagon, are there mos on the wagon? And if there are mos on the wagon, then you have a problem. But because Mos is Muktzah, but if you don't have Mos on the wagon, even though there were Mos going into Shabbos, nevertheless, you're allowed to move the wagon. So it all depends upon whether there are Mos now on the wagon. This would reflect the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And it's a Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Shimon, a Mishnah in Kalim, like Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yochanan is committed to Paschal like a Mishnah in Kalim. How can you possibly therefore suggest that Rabbi Yochanan accepted the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon? Amar Rabbi Zera, Tehei Mishnah Seinu, you have to reinterpret the Mishnah in Kalim. Shalo Hoya Alea Mos Kol Ben Hashmashos. When the Mishnah says that Bizman Shiyesh Olea Mos, it means that if it had Mos during Bein HaShmashos, that's enough to generate an Iser Muktzah for the entire Shabbos on the wheels, on the Muchni, even if the Mos are removed during the course of Shabbos.
That's the same as the Beit.
Right. And that's going to be the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that if there are Mos on the bed or Mos on the wheel going into Shabbos, Ben HaShmashos, then we're going to apply the principle of Ben HaShmashos, we called it Migu. And all this is a real push in the language of the Mishnah in Kelayim, but Shalo Lishbar Dvarav Shal Rabbi Yochanan. In order not to have this irreconcilable contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. How can Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and then at the same time paskin like a Stam Mishnah? The answer is that this Mishnah in Kelayim, the Stam Mishnah, could be interpreted in a way that even Rabbi Yehuda would accept it. And when the Mishnah says that Bizman Shiyesh Olea Mos, it means that there were Mos there going into Shabbos, and that's enough. And that generates Muktzah. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Pam Achas Holach Rebbe Lidiospora. He went to a city in Bavel called Diaspora. Vahora b'menora ki Rabbi Shimon b'ner. And he paskined in the case of a menorah like Rabbi Shimon. And that means that it seems that Rabbi Yudanasi actually accepted the shita of Rebbe. And my friends, I want you to know that Diaspora is a very famous city in Jewish history. You know why? You know why everybody knows about Diaspora? Because Rebbe went to Diaspora, and there he paskin like Reb Shimon. Iboilahu, the Gemara says, Safek, Hora b'menorah ki Rebbe Shimon b'ner lehetera. What does it mean that Rebbe paskin like Rebbe Shimon in a case of ner? Does it mean lehetera, meaning that the din of a menorah has the same din as a ner, and we could be makil in a menorah like Rebbe Shimon? O Dilma, maybe what he meant to say was something else. Hora b'menorah lisura, u'k'Rabbi Shimon b'ner le'tera. He only accepted Rabbi Shimon in the case of a ner, and then he was makil. But as far as a candelabra is concerned, which we said is made up of different pieces, or even if it's made up of one single piece, if it has grooves on it, then we're afraid that it might be confused with another menorah that's chulios, that's made up of different parts. And therefore, he would be machmir in the case of a candelabra. And the Gemara ends up with teku. So basically, we don't know whether or not Rebbe was willing to paskin like Rebbe Shimon, not only in Nair, but even in menorah. And then we know that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Shimon l'alocha, or maybe Rebbe holds, no, I'm only going to accept Rebbe Shimon in the case of Ner, but not in the case of a candelabra, and the Gemara blives with a teku. Rav Malkia ikla lebei Rav Simloi v'tiltil shraga. Rav Malkia is a guest in the house of Rav Simloi, and he's moving a lamp that was lit on Erev Shabbos, and now it went out. Meaning he paskin like Rabbi Shimon. The Ikpid Rav Simloi, and Rav Simloi got a little upset with him. How could you do this? We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Another story which is exactly parallel. Rav Yossi Glila Ikla Liasri de Rav Yose. Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. And Tiltila Shraga. The Ikpid Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. So he was a guest, Rabbi Yossi, in the house of Rabbi Yossi, and he moved this lamp that was lit going into Shabbos, and the guest, and the host, excuse me, Rabbi Yossi, was very upset about it. So let's again mention that we had Rabbi Yitzchak in his transmission. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi paskins like Rabbi Shimon, and now the Gemara is going to analyze a story about Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo had two Rebbeim. One was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and the other was Rabbi Yochanan. They were all contemporaries. Rabbi Avo ki ikla liasra debei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, havi metaltel shraga. When he was visiting the area of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he would move a lamp that went out on Shabbos. But Kiyiklo Liasri de Rabbi Yochanan, who is in the territory of Rabbi Yochanan, lo avi mitaltei shraga. He was very careful not to move such a lamp. So Gemara asked me, Manavshach, Ik Rabbi Yehuda Svirulei, if he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, is li evid ki Rabbi Yehuda? He should have been consistent, and he should have been machmir like Rabbi Yehuda. Vi ki Rabbi Shimon Svirulei, if he's mekil and he accepts Rabbi Shimon, is li avid ki Rabbi Shimon? Let him act consistently according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara answers, it all depends where you are. Truthfully, Rabbi Avo paskin like Rabbi Shimon. He couldn't have been mekil on this, but he couldn't have been mekil if he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Leolim k'Rabbi Shimon's firulei. But mishum kvoda de Rabbi Yochanan hu de lo avi ovid. When he got to the area of Rabbi Yochanan, he wouldn't insult his Rebbe by being mekil against Rabbi Yochanan, knowing full well that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So when he was comfortable in the area of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, then he could be mekil. Om Rabbi Yehuda shraga de mishcha shari l'taltule, but the nafta also l'taltule. So now we're talking about what's called muktza machmas mius, and let's say that he had an oil lamp that was oil. oil is not so repugnant. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that we could be mekil because we don't accept muktzah. But the nafta, if it's made of kerosene, which has very bad odor, then also little too late. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda accepted the principle of muktzah machmas mius. Rabbi Rav Yosef Yamitravayu, the nafta nami shari little too late. Even in the case of an air that was lit by kerosene, and it's very repugnant, nevertheless, you're allowed to move it, and we reject this concept of muktzah machmas mius. Rav Avya iklo lebei rova. So Rav Avya finds himself in the house of Rava. Have a me'isun bei kare betina. This is a really wild story. Rav Avya, this reminds me, I know at least we have one Canadian here in the audience, and you know what I learned in my 2 years in Canada, at least in the area that I was in, is that you don't go into a house without taking off your shoes most of the year. I mean, with the exception of July. But Rav Avya apparently was not Canadian. and his shoes were full of mud, and he comes into Apuria Kami de Rava. Puria is a bed. He takes off his shoes full of mud and he puts it on the bed of Rava. Very strange Gemara. I can't help you with this. Ikpad Rava. Rava was mocked. Now what happens when a gadol like Rava gets angry? You know, does he start, the pun is throwing shoes? Boil it to Yure. He wanted to give it back to him. So how do you get somebody, you know, how does one gadol get another gadol angry, so to speak? He starts asking him kashas to try to prove to him that he doesn't know Torah. That's his way of taking revenge. Amalei. So he turns to Rav Avya and he says to him, "My timer, Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amri Shavai Shraga, then after Nami Shari little too late. How could they be makil with a kerosene lamp? After all, it has a very bad odor. Amalei, because it has a purpose. It's not like Eitzim Vavonim, that's real intrinsic muktzah." Has no purpose on Shabbos. There it's a purpose on Shabbos. Hol v'chazya, it's suitable l'chsuye be'mona to cover a kli. Basically, you know, you could find a function for almost anything. Elimeata, so Rava said to him, you know, knowing that he has him now caught against the wall, he says, kol tzoros shebechatzim etaltalin. What about stones? Pebbles that are out there in the courtyard. That should also be, according to you, mutal etiltal, over chazi l'chsuyu be'mana. You know, take a bunch of little stones, or whatever it is, or one large stone, and cover a vessel. You know, if you're afraid the flies are going inside, or I don't know why you're covering it. Amalei, he said, Rav Avya said, there's a fundamental difference between a shraga de nafta and tsroros. Ha ika toris kli ole, ha leka toris kli. If you have something that's a kli, and it has a function, then I could find any function in the world, and if the original function is not possible, because it's Shabbos, you can't light this lamp, I'll find another function for it, in order to maintain the same kli. But in a case of tsroros, which doesn't have a shame kli, then you can't come up and imagine in your wildest dreams some sort of a very unusual kind of function, unless again you prepare it before Shabbos. That's a different story. So Rav Avya now brings a raya. He says, "Milo Sanya, we have a brisa. This is on Daf Mem Vavam and Beis Ha." Shirim v'anizomim v'atabos. So we're talking about bracelets, nose rings, and hand rings, finger rings. And the brisa says, "Arein kechol hakelim anitolim b'chotzer." That there's no difference between these kelim and other kelim as far as a chotzer is concerned. Again, you're not allowed to take this out to Rishus Arabim. even though you might argue it's a tachshit and he's wearing these bracelets or rings, but nevertheless we're always afraid that maybe he or she will take it off and then carry it for Amos and Rishus HaRab. But you're allowed to carry it in a courtyard. The Omar Ula, Matam, wait a second, why are we allowing you to carry these things? Hoil v'ika toras kliale, because these objects, even though she can't wear them, like these beautiful nose rings and bracelets, she can't wear them out in public, but nevertheless, it still has a toras kli. Hachanami hol v'ika toras kliale. Here too, in the case of a shraga the nafta, it has a toras kli. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Brich Rachmona Delo Ksife Rava L'Rav Avya. Blessed be Hashem that Rava was not able to outsmart Rav Avya and embarrass him by asking him questions that he couldn't respond to. Rava thought he had him caught in a bind, against the wall. But the bottom line here is that Rav Avya has a very powerful logic that if you have something that has a Shem Kli, even if it changes its original purpose, as long as you can use it for something else, it has some function, it retains its same kli. And that's something that the Rav Avya could apply to the case of Shraga the Nafta, because I won't be repulsed if I use it to cover a utensil, the Shraga the Nafta, that's made of smelly kerosene. And therefore, it's not mukta. Now, again, we don't have time, because we're in the middle of, of a Daf Yomi Shia, but I just have to tell you that the Mefarshim here claim that this whole discussion about Rav Avya putting his soiled shoes on the bed of Rava, it has a deeper meaning to it. There are different messages here. And it has to do with the Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos about Shivrei Kli Cheres, a little broken pieces of Cheres, whether they're Mukta or not Mukta. But okay, that's if you're interested, let me know and we'll try to find the time for it. I just want to see if we can finish the daf, or at least close to the end of the daf. Rami Le Abai L'Rava Rava. Was Abai asked Rabbi the following question? Tanya, you have a brisa Mosar Shemin Shemin Er Shemakara Osur Reb Shemin Matir. So, if you have leftover oil, and we're talking about a bowl full of oil, and he lit this lamp, this nair before Shabbos, is Reb Shemin is Matir. Now, if you remember, we've already mentioned that Rav Shimon would only be matir in a case where there's a limited amount or a standard amount of oil, and this word kara here, which normally means that it's got a major volume of oil, is to be interpreted together in one breath with the word ner. So it's not that case of Ashishus, if you remember, Kos Kara and Ashishus, where Rav Shimon is moda. In any event, Alma Rabbi Shimon Lesle Mukta Ureminu, what are we going to do with a Mishnah? The Mishnah says, with regard to Yontif, it's a Mishnah in Beitza, that Kol She'ein Mumo Nika Merv Yontif, Ein Zemin Amuchan. We have what's called a Bechar Behema. It was the first animal that was born to its mother. And it has Kedushas Mizbeach. And in our time, we don't have the ability to take this Bechar and bring it as a Karban. So we wait till it becomes a Balmum. And the Gemara has recommendations how to work that out. That it gets a blemish and therefore it's Pasul Mizbeach. And at that point, you're allowed to Shecht it as Chulin. But what you need is an expert who has special smicha in this area of Bechoros. It's called Smicha of Yatir, Bechoros Yatir. It means that not every blemish would passel the carbon. It has to be a mum she'eino over. It's got to be a permanent mum. Now, going into Yontif, we had this Bechar. It had a bit of a blemish on it, but we have no way of deciding whether or not, without the mumcha, without the expert who has smicha in this area, that it's got a balmum and that you can shecht it as chulin. And Rav Shimon says, therefore, eino mina mucha, and you can't shecht it on Shabbos. In other words, even if, let's say, somehow you convince the mumcha to paskin on this bechar on Yontif, Rav Shimon says it's eino mina muchan. So therefore, what's the difference between a ner and this case of a bechar? So Gemara answers, Rabbi answers, Hachi Ashta, there's no comparison here. Hasam Adam Yoshev Mitzapeh Masaitich Ben Nero. When a person lights a normal volume of oil, he anticipates that the oil will go out some point in the middle of Shabbos, so that gives it a hachana. So going into Shabbos during Ben Hashmoshos, it's not mukta because he anticipates he's Yoshev Mitzapeh when the light will go out, but hacha. Are you going to tell me that he anticipates that this Bechar is going to lend itself to Shechita? Look how many Sveikas you need. It's like a Chad Gadya here. Hacha. Number one, Adam Yoshev Mitzapa Masai Yipol Bo Mum. Does a person anticipate that there'll be a Mum? And it's going to have to be a Mum She'eno over a permanent blemish. And not only that, Meimar Omar Miyemar Denofel Be Muma, and even if there will be a mum, Imtim Salom Denofel Be Muma Miyemar Denofel Be Muma Kavua, the Imtim Salom Denofel Be Muma Kavua Miyemar Demizdakik Le Chacham. There are so many sfeikas here going in, you'd have to have a combination of so many different factors to check them all off in order that he would be allowed to shecht this Bechar as Chulin, because going into Yontif, it had a full-fledged Kedushas Bechar. So what are you going to imagine that till, you know, this, there'll be a Mum, and the Mum will be a Mum Over, Mum She'eno Over, Mum Kavua, and not only that, you're going to have someone to be Matir the Bechar? And therefore, Rabbi Shimon agrees that this is mukta, because Rabbi Shimon, as we said in the case of Ashishis, and we applied a similar kind of logic in other cases, like a sukkah, a very healthy sukkah that fell, possibly a healthy animal that died on Shabbos or Yontif. In these cases, Rabbi Shimon agrees that he's totally mesiach das. There's no hachana for something that he doesn't anticipate will become mutter on Shabbos. Masiv Rami Bar Chama Mefirim Nidarim B'Shabbos Finish Olim L'Nidarim Shehein L'Tzorech HaShabbos. So let's say a woman took a neder, a married woman, and now she wants to eat this animal that she took a neder on Shabbos. So the halacha is that a husband, when he hears about the neder, he has the power to be mefir her neder, his wife's neder, or if he has a daughter who's either a nara or a ketana, he could be mefir nedarim, he could nullify her nedarim. And we're going to allow this on Shabbos, even though we don't normally allow this, in order to allow her to eat on Shabbos, because we want her to enjoy onig Shabbos. And not only that, if a person takes a neder, and he's not a married woman or a daughter, and he wants to be matir the neder, so he goes to a chacham, a mumcha, an expert nedarim, and he tells the person that he didn't really want the neder, and there'll be a hataras nedarim. So now we're going to allow this person who had a neder going into Shabbos that enjoined him from eating the meat or her from eating the meat to eat the meat on Shabbos. Amai, why don't we assume it's mukta? Lema, why don't we say the same logic, apply that logic that we applied before in a Bechar? Mi Yemar, Dimistakik Le Baal. Who says that the husband is going to annul her vow? She doesn't know, she can't anticipate one way or the other whether he'll annul her vow. So Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of a neder that a woman took, again, we'll see about another case where you're shoel on a neder, but in the case of a woman who needs hafara, is Kidder Rabbi Pinchas Mishmei Derava, the Yom Rabbi Pinchas Mishmei Derava, Kol Anoderes Al Das Bailu Anoderes. The neder itself is not valid until the husband gives his consent and he's making the neder and he accepts and validates the neder. So therefore, she anticipates that the neder may be a neder or not be a neder. The meat may be asur, may be mutter. Depends on what the husband has to say. Let's just find out what his opinion is. But the neder intrinsically is not chal unless you get the consent of the husband, and therefore it has a din of eino mukta, it's non-mukta. So the Gemara says, Toshma. But what about the same Mishnah in Beitza that says Nishalim l'nedarim shel tzorech Shabbos b'Shabbos? Now we're not talking about a neder, which where the validity of the neder depends upon someone else's consent. You took a perfectly 100% valid neder, and you enjoined yourself from eating a piece of meat. Now you want to eat it on Shabbos, and you can go ahead and get a heter. And go to the Chacham, and he'll give you a heter. V'amai leva miyema demizdakeg lechacham. Who says that the Chacham is going to be mati your neder? Just like you don't know in the case of Bechar whether the Chacham is going to be mati your mum. So Gemara answers, Hasam ilo mizdakeg lechacham sagile b'shloshed yotos. Maybe a person who has this neder would not be able to locate a yochid mumcha, an expert in the Dharma, who could be mati alone. But he'll find three fellows off the street, you know, three regular people, three adyotos. They don't have to be experts. You need only one expert. But if you don't have an expert, you're not in a lost cause. Is chacham miyemer demizdakek lechacham? But here in the case of Bechar, who says he's going to find a chacham? These were very rare and fine between, who can determine that this animal no longer has Kedushas Bechar because it has a mum kavua, and therefore we don't anticipate that it'll be able to shecht and eat this animal on Yontif. Rami le Abai le Rav Yosef, Abai estakasha on Rav Yosef, mi amar Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon hold kavsa mutal taltala? Which means that if it goes out, then he could move the lamp. Kavsa in, lo kavsa lo. But as long as it's lit, he's not allowed to touch the nair. He can't move it. Dilma bahadi denokit la kavsa. Because imagine if while he's moving the nair, and the nair is alive and active, he might put it out unintentionally. Right, the wind, as he moves it back and forth, is going to put out the candle, and he'll be violating Melechus Mechaba. But wait a second. He didn't intentionally try to violate Melechus Mechaba. Hashamini le Rabbi Shimon, the Omer Dovashenim is kaven, mutar. Rabbi Shimon holds that a Dovashenim is kaven, he doesn't have kavan, it's allowed. This sign we learned in a Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Kisei Mito Vesafsol. You have a very soft ground, and you want to transport a heavy bench from one location to the other. You're going to make charitzim, you're going to make furrows in the ground, which is Meleches Choresh, and Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to do it. Ubevlad shlo yiskavin lasos chritz, because you don't have kavana to make the chritz. So you're not sure, given all the factors, the weight of the couch and the softness of the ground, whether it will or will not make these furrows. That's called the Dover Shein of Miskavin. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon allow you to move the nair even when it's alive and active? And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yosef's teretz is called Hecha Dichi Mechavin Ike Yisur Doraisa. There are two types of cases, and with this we'll wrap it up. There's one case where if in heaven forbid he would have Kavana, he would violate an Yisur Doraisa. There's another case, another scenario, where in the worst case scenario, if he has Kavana, he would only violate an Yisur Derabanan. Is therefore, in the case where he makes furrows in the ground, but he doesn't use the proper utensil, he doesn't have a plow. You know, if you want to make furrows in the ground for planting purposes, which is called Meleches Charisha, use a plow, a machresha. He's not using a machresha. He's using a couch that has legs on it. So that's shelo kedarka. And therefore, even in the worst scenario, let's say he's a farmer and he would have in mind, hey, you know what? If there are furrows here and I'll be able to plant here, that's a good idea. If Chas V'Shalom would have kavana, he would not violate a doraisa because he's doing it shelo kedarka. This is an unusual way. But kol hecha dechi mechavna ika isur drabanan is then, right? So that's the case of Gorakisi, where again, if he would have kavana, it would only be a violation of a drabanan, because as I've said before, shelo kedarka. Is kilo machavin shari Reb Shimon lechatchila? Reb Shimon would allow it lechatchila, but not so in the case of a violation of a doraisa. For example, if you extinguish something by moving it from place to place, that's already considered kedarka. Belineta will pick that up tomorrow, and therefore Reb Shimon would say that although a davar sheinu miskaven is potur, but nevertheless it's potur aval osur. And therefore, he's not going to allow you to move a ner that's lit on Shabbos. So, Belineta, tomorrow we'll finish up the last few lines here on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, so we can get on to Daf Mem Zayin Amid Al.
Can I come back to the case of the menorah and the sort of nafka and the whole question of Muksa Machmas Mius?
Right.
Just from how I understood what you were saying, it seemed to be that this is like subjective rather than objective. Is that right or not? One person's meals is another person's not meals. How do you define what is meals?
Well, that's a little bit complicated, Michael. There are cases in Mukta where it's really objective, and we don't care what you're thinking. Basically, it depends on, I think, what's called rov b'nei adam. Daitan shel rov b'nei adam. If most people would consider it most, would consider it repugnant, repulsive, then it would be a machlokes tanoim in the case of muktzah machmas mius. If somebody comes along and he's a mefunak, you know, he's a feinschmecker, as we call it in Yiddish, and he says it's most to me, I don't know. You know, that might be butler daita to kol adam. You know, we don't consider him to set it up. So your question is a very excellent question.